There is a biblical path toward spiritual maturity, and it's called the spiritual disciplines. Today on Awaken to Grace, we are going to talk about spiritual disciplines. And our text is going to be 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where the Bible says, discipline or exercise or train yourselves toward godliness. And today we're going to unfold the idea of spiritual disciplines. So whether you are someone who is very disciplined in your life or moderately disciplined, or maybe you're someone who lacks discipline, no matter where you are on that scale, you're going to find something beneficial out of today's message. And I know you're going to grow spiritually from today's sermon. I hope you enjoy this edition of Awakened Radio. Our text today is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And if you have missed some of this series, I want to encourage you to go back on our app, Awakened to Grace. Download our free mobile app, and all of our sermons are available there. Go to our websites, awakenedtograce.com, preachingchristchurch.com, and catch up where we are on this series. So today is part 4 of our sermon, of our summer series called The Unhurried Life. In week 1, we talked about unhurried rest. You know, so many people don't know how to rest. Some people think that rest means sleep, and they think, well, if I could just get more sleep, then I would get more rest. And that's not true. Because even though your body may sleep for 8 or 7 or 9 hours, whatever the case, that doesn't mean your soul has rested. And what we lack in today's culture is not necessarily physical rest, it is soul rest. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. There is a rest for our soul that our body cannot compensate for. And what happens is our body tends to follow our soul. So when we're at rest in our mind, when we're at rest in our emotions, when we're at rest spiritually, then guess what? The body will follow. That was week 1. In week 2, we talked about unhurried abiding. And the premise of that was so many people come to Christ, as in Matthew 11. They come to Christ, they get born again, they experience Jesus, but then they seem to wander off. They seem to go on in their old ways or their old path, or they wander off on some other way and they don't stay. They don't abide. They don't continue in. And so we broke down John chapter 15. God is the vine. Christ is the true vine. We are the branches. And we broke down what that meant. And we saw that not only are we to come to Christ and rest, but we are to abide, we are to stay, we are to continue, we are to grow in Jesus. And then last week, we were in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we talked about unhurried families, and I so enjoyed last week. We talked about what godly homes look like, what the Bible says, a godly home, a godly family, what the daily routine of godly parents, what it looks like. And I so enjoyed last week, unhurried families. Well, today, our topic is unhurried spiritual disciplines. Unhurried spiritual disciplines. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. If you want to look with me there, the end of the verse says, training yourselves for godliness. Training yourselves toward godliness. And then verse 8 is going to teach that godly exercise profits but little. There is profit to it. Scripture's not saying to neglect it. But Scripture's saying it's not everything. While physical exercise will profit little, godly exercise profits not only the life here, but eternity, the life to come. Do you see? And so we're going to talk today about what spiritual disciplines mean in our life. In order to really understand spiritual disciplines, we first have to back up and understand what spiritual disciplines are not. So before I list for you quite a few spiritual disciplines, let me first tell you what spiritual disciplines are not in our life. Spiritual disciplines are not attitudes. Spiritual disciplines are not, someone can say, well, you know, I'm going to work on being more joyful, and you can have a joyful attitude, but that's not spiritual discipline. Spiritual disciplines are not even the fruits that the Holy Spirit produced in our life. Spiritual disciplines are not attitudes. Spiritual disciplines are actions. They are practices that promote, that lead to, that grow us, that cultivate, that fosters Christ-likeness. And today we're going to understand what spiritual disciplines really produce in our life. But understand, first of all, spiritual disciplines are not attitudes. They're actually practices. They are actions. These are things that you physically do. They are not attitudes or mentalities. They are actions that we actually accomplish in our spiritual walk. Number two, spiritual disciplines are not hobbies. They are not interests. So someone cannot say, well, I enjoy this hobby, and so for me, that's a spiritual discipline. I want us to understand today, because this is going to be really critical toward our text, toward growing in godliness. This is very, very critical. Spiritual disciplines are not apart from biblical truths, okay? So I want you to understand with me, because I'm going to take you on a journey today that I think will have great impact on your spiritual life. For us to understand spiritual disciplines, what we have to understand is they are rooted in the Bible. And spiritual disciplines that are not rooted in the Bible do not produce what the Bible's trying to produce in our life. So, for example, someone could say, well, you know, I enjoy gardening. And so for me, gardening is a spiritual discipline. No, not according to the Bible. Now, you can be skilled in gardening. You can have a great love for gardening. It can bring you great joy and great satisfaction. And you can be tremendous at gardening and you really enjoy it. But that doesn't mean it's a spiritual discipline because it's not rooted in the Bible. Someone can enjoy jogging. How many of you are like me and you hate those people? Ugh. Golly. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But anyway, we'll go on. But in all seriousness, some of you, perhaps you enjoy running. It clears your mind. It's good for your body. It helps you process life. And for you, it's a great joy. And it's a great hobby. It's even a great interest. And that's great. But it's not a spiritual discipline. Some of you, perhaps you enjoy baking. And I'll be glad to sample anything you want me to sample. I appreciate that about, well, but even at that, even if you're skilled at it, even if it brings you pleasure, even if you love to share it with others, it's not a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline, if you're going to take notes this morning, a spiritual discipline is a discipline taught in the Bible that produces godliness. It produces godliness. Do you see the difference today? Now, there's a journey that we're going to go on, and I want you to note this. If our goal is to produce godliness, where we're headed today is to show that these are actually God's ideas, okay? Preachers didn't come up with this. Churches didn't come up with this. Religious systems did not invent this. These are God's ideas for us to practice. And there's a reason why, and I'm going to show you the reason why today. Now, if you go back to our text, when we think of the idea of spiritual disciplines, another problem with spiritual disciplines, not only are they not attitudes, they are in fact actions, and not only Not only are they not hobbies or interests or something like that, but they are disciplines, they are practices that are rooted in the Bible. But here's another clarification we need to make before we go further. Spiritual disciplines, I lost my train of thought for a second, help me this morning. They are not hobbies, they are not interests. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. I started to sweat for just 1 second. It's hard when you preach with no notes whatsoever. You know it? You can't glance down and go, oh, that's where I am. It's all locked up here. Oh, Lord Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. The problem in our culture, and you'll know this to be true, the problem is that everyone thinks they are spiritual. Spiritual disciplines have nothing to do with being mystic or being New Age or trying to find God in this or trying to find God in that. My friends, do you know where God wants to be found? In His Word. That's the only place to find Him. You're not going to find Him in the woods. And you're not going to find Him in your interests or your hobbies. How self-serving is it to tell God, I'll find you on my terms. I'll find you where I want to find. No, God doesn't work that way. God is found only in His Word. And so you and I have to understand, if we are going to be on the path of encountering God, then we must be in the path of Scripture. And so that's why I say, I want to reiterate, spiritual disciplines does not mean that someone does certain types of meditations, or someone is engaged in some certain philosophy, or someone has this great love, or this great hobby, or even this great skill. That does not make it a spiritual discipline. What makes it a spiritual discipline is a biblical practice that leads toward Christ-likeness. A spiritual practice that leads toward godliness. And that's what the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Discipline yourself toward godliness. Now, the word train right here in the Greek, in the original Greek, is a highly interesting word. It actually means, it's where we get, in the Greek, it's where we get our English word for gymnasium. How many of you belong to a gym? I don't know what you're doing. You're raising your hand, or if you belong to a gym, just go, woo! Okay. How many of you don't belong to a gym? Go, ugh. Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord, we're a lazy church. Oh, we're a lazy church. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I used to live out by Great Body Company on Memorial, and I used to say, I go by the gym twice a day, leaving and coming home, right? That's terrible. That's awful. Oh, you gym people are going to love this. You're going to love it. This word for train and this word for the old King James says, exercise yourself for godliness. The New American Standard Bible says, discipline yourself toward godliness. The ESV says, train yourself toward godliness. The English word out of the Greek word means gymnasium or gymnastics. In other words, Paul is saying, enter into God's exercise, enter into God's discipline, enter into His gymnasium, come into His program. And for those of us who do not go to a gym, we need this more than anyone, don't we?
Amen.
And for those of you who, perhaps you're at a certain level of discipline, and I do, I admire people who, they run and they jog and they exercise their bodies. I wish I was more like you, and I need to discipline myself more. I need to follow your example. Here's what I'm saying today. For all of us, where is the priority of godliness? in all of our priorities, in all of our, I need to do this and I need to do that, and I'm going to incorporate this, I'm going to add this as part of my life. This is very important to me. This is very valuable to me. Therefore, I'm going to take the time to do it. And we all make those decisions. Every one of us. And you may be somebody who says, Chad, I don't have a moment in the day. Chad, I don't have the luxury of saying no or yes to anything. I am so... No, all of us make decisions every day on what is priority to us. And in all of that decision making, where is the priority of exercise, train, discipline yourself toward godliness? See, that's the goal of the Christian life. And today, I know in my heart, and I'm not saying in a judgmental way, I'm saying in a way, let's evaluate. I'm saying in a way of let's reprioritize. I'm saying in a way of invitation, come with me on this beautiful journey, on this incredible pathway of righteousness called the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. And I'm saying, what would my life and what would your life look like if in all of our prioritizing, everything that must get done, everything that's on our plate, all of our responsibilities, everything that we value, and what if we said at the top of it all is godliness? What would our lives look like? What would our stress levels look like? What would our responsibilities look like? Godliness. Train, exercise, discipline yourself toward godliness. That's the great goal. You know, there are many wonderful musicians, many wonderful musicians, many wonderful piano players. But I have a bias to my friend Michael Berkey. I'm telling you what, when that brother plays piano, does it do something to you? Amen. I can be frustrated, or I can be exhausted, or I can be overwhelmed, or I can be preoccupied, or I can have any emotion before I take this pulpit. And I'm telling you, when that brother plays, it just lifts everything off of me. Do you find that true? It just is a blessing. Now, if I came to Michael and I said, Michael, I have a great desire. I would like to learn piano. Would you teach me? Michael would probably do that. And we sat down together and I paid for lessons and said, okay, Michael, I want to learn. And he begins to teach me some chords and some notes. And after a while of hitting notes and matching chords, if he said, okay, Chad, now let's make some music. What would he think if I said, no, I just really wanted to hit a few chords. That's all I really wanted to do. What would be the purpose of paying for music lessons if my ultimate goal was not to play music? Would I be wasting his time? Would I be wasting my time? And I'm afraid that for many of us, we've never looked at it from this perspective. We've never looked at it from this angle. Is our goal here this morning? Is our goal in coming to church? Is the goal godliness? Or are we just hitting some chords? How silly would it be for us to bring ourselves in gathering for worship and pray to the Lord and say, nah, I'm not really interested in godliness? Could that, my friend, be a waste of your time? Is your goal godliness? Because I'll tell you, that's God's goal for you. And that's the Bible's goal for you, is Christ like godliness. Can we say amen to that? So how do we do this? What are spiritual disciplines? I want to tell you a few of them, then I want to share with you how it's God's ideas. Now, spiritual disciplines, in a similar way, if you remember earlier in the year, we did a study on the names or the titles of God. And if you remember what we said, The titles of God are numerous. I mean, far more than we could have covered in that one series. And so it is with spiritual disciplines. There are numerous spiritual disciplines. Well over 20 to my count, from my understanding. But let me just share a few of them with you today. Spiritual disciplines, again, they are practices that promote Christ-likeness. They are practices that lead toward godliness. Spiritual disciplines would include studying your Bible, not reading your Bible, studying your Bible. Do you know that there's a difference? Let me share with you the difference for one moment, and then I'll move ahead. Do you know the difference between reading your Bible and studying your Bible? A man one time was in the business of trying to sell gold mines. And, even today you can buy mines out west, you know, in Midwest and Colorado, those areas. You can purchase a mine. You can look it up, and there's several available. But if you purchase a gold mine, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to work it, right? To find gold. And this young man was trying to make an easy sell, and he was doing it in the wrong way. As a matter of fact, in much the way that preachers preach today. Too easy. And he was saying, oh, this mine is for sale, and for X amount of dollars, it can be yours, and you'll be rich tomorrow by the time you make the purchase. You'll be rich. As a matter of fact, there's so much gold in this mine that it's laying on the floor. And the wise older man he was trying to sell it to was making fun of him and said, excuse me, young man, are you implying that I will need to bend over? Hear his sarcasm. I'm afraid we have much of the same mentality in today's church. If we're going to gather the gold of God's word, we're going to have to dig for it. Turn your Bibles real quick to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Just real fast, and then I'll move on. One of the luxuries when you don't preach without notes is when the Holy Spirit tells you to go a different direction, you can go. Amen? Are you okay going a little different direction right now? 9 a.m. didn't get this. They're going to have to watch online. They didn't get any of this. We had a wonderful 9 a.m. service. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to this text. This is perfect for what we're talking about right now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I had none of this planned, and this is just the Lord helping us connect the dots this morning. Now, understand this. Spiritual discipline, if you're taking notes, you're going to want to note this. Spiritual disciplines are not works-based mentality. And spiritual disciplines are not legalistic mentalities. Spiritual disciplines is an evangelistic mentality that is going to equip you to share your faith in a greater way, in a broader way. It has nothing to do with legalism. And it certainly has nothing to do with good works. So when I was young in my faith, I would read a text like this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and I'd scratch my head and think, what does that mean, Lord? Because I know the Bible teaches you can't work for your salvation. Did you know the Bible teaches that? Ephesians chapter 2. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. But it is a what? Gift from God. So you can't work for your salvation. Warren Wiersbe says it so well. As Christians, we do not work. We do not do good works for our salvation, but because of our salvation, we do good works. That's the balance. And so this scripture says what I thought was opposite of what other scripture said. Work out your own salvation. What's it say? What's Paul telling these people? Work out your own salvation. Well, do you know what the word picture is in the original Greek? This is beautiful. The word picture is of someone owning a gold mine and working that gold mine.